1986. The United States has been involved in 83 wars over 241 years. And so I think it only right that we show respect and honor and acknowledge the men and the women of our armed services who paid the ultimate price. They sacrificed their lives so that we could meet in church, in the choice of our church. We could preach God's word. We could rejoice in his house because of the freedoms that we still have in this country. And so I'm going to ask you in a moment to stand in honor in a silent prayer for about 30 seconds, and I'll conclude with prayer in honor of all those that we should honor on this day. Will you rise in silent prayer, please, for about 30 seconds? Thank you that so many gave their lives and so many more jeopardized their lives so we can meet in worship and freedom as we choose. We stand in honor of these heroes, Lord. They truly are men and women and their families. They honored their oath to the extreme so that we might enjoy our freedoms we hold dear and the blessings that you have poured out on us as a country. Lord, you told us in John 15:13, there's no greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We are grateful for those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. We ask you now to bless their families and loved ones and help us never to forget them. And likewise, those who come home wounded, maimed, and scarred. Be with those now, Lord, serving in the Army, the Air Force, Coast Guard, the Navy, the Marines, and the Merchant Marines on active duty, reserve, or with the National Guard, and especially, Lord, our chaplains, to meet the spiritual needs of our men in uniform now, and ensure that they, too, will trust in you, Lord, when they hear your name, no other name. Amen. You may be seated. In the storm without Jesus, not unless you have Jesus. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 4, we'll look at verses 35 through 41. In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, it took them even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, disciples and how we would have acted and how they acted and how we might have reacted the same way as they did. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, and it's about 8 miles wide at its widest part. The interesting thing is that it's about 700 feet below the sea level of the Mediterranean, which is not too far east of the Sea of Galilee. And when you put into the equation on the other side, if you're looking across the Sea of Galilee, that there are hills and mountains, and some go to 3,500 feet, 2,100 feet. You put in the difference in the sea level, because in the Sea of Galilee, there's no wonder, but the hills and valleys and mountains on the east side and part of the north side, there's no wonder that the wind will come up at different times and cause disturbances, real storms. Now, if you've ever been on a storm, on the water, you know what that's like. If you feel confined and scary, especially if it's a rough storm. I remember as a young person, I'm from Long Island, New York. We live on the south shore of Long Island. And my buddy and I, we like to fish. We had a rowboat, you know, and we'd get out on the Great South Bay. I remember one time that all of a sudden the fog started coming in. I mean, it just was rolling across the waters. And we up the anchor and off we went because we didn't have any compass or anything else. And once that fog, it sounds like a horrible thing, but it's not. Once that would envelop you, you wouldn't know where you're going. And if you tried to go anyplace, you'd be probably going the wrong direction. It's the same thing in the air with a pilot. I have a son who was an F-15 pilot. And he could tell me about going out over the Gulf and some of the exercises that they had in the F-15, which is a marvelous aircraft. And he would tell me that I asked him, refueling was a big deal because like he had a flight over Iraq one time. Well, it was a long flight for just one plane like that because they'd have to refuel. And I said, what do you do on this bad weather, son? And Mark said, well, we practice in the bad weather. I said, you mean you refuel in a thunderstorm at all? If we have to do that? Yes, sir, that's what we did. And he said, it's interesting, when you're in a thunderstorm and it's lightning, and you're on an F-15, he said, you can't see the hand in front of your face just about. I mean, it's dark. And he did this, a lot of these maneuvers at night, out over the Gulf, and sometimes over land. And he said, on several occasions, he get knocked around so much, they thought he'd turn around. As you get upside down, you've got a real problem. But you couldn't tell yourself. Your senses and your body, he explained to me, was such that I knew we were flying in the wrong manner. We should, you know, make an adjustment and turn over. He said, but then you look at the instruments. You know, gyroscope and other things. I don't know what other instruments they had. He said, but the instruments told the truth. And usually, the instruments were correct. And even though you felt like they were wrong, he said, you have a choice to make it. Are you going to go by the instruments, or are you going to go by your own way of doing things? And naturally, the instruments are the way. I feel like Jesus in this story is basically telling these disciples, I'm the instruments that you need. If you want peace in the storm, you have to go by His instruments, the Lord's instruments, the maker of all things. This is part of His instruments for us. He's given plainly marks out here. These are our instruments, not some other things that we can get in some other book or from what somebody is saying on television. It sounds good, prosperity gospel or whatever you want to call it. But there are tough times in life, and there are storms in life. And I bet you there's some people in this congregation could tell us of some of the usual storms that they have faced, but if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be here. They would not have survived those storms. They went by the instruments that Jesus Christ did. So we're going to think about the storm they had here. In the very first verse, points out also that when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, that was a command, and that's what they were going to do. And if Jesus said he was going to do it, he's going to do it. Maxwell points this out. He says, so long as the disciples assumed control of their situation, Jesus rested. And Jesus did rest because he was very tired from the ministry that day. But when they cast their care on him and released control to him, he cared for everything and they could rest. And he said that shows two things. That leaders, in particular, the church or otherwise, should remember. We must take responsibility never to take control. Only God is big enough to take control. And the principle works like this. We care and he rests. But now the Lord may do something to mess us up while we rest. And it did happen here like that. And the second thing is that he cares and then we rest. When we release total control, then we find peace. And there's only one way to have peace in the storm of fear is through Jesus Christ in the faith and being confidence that he gives us. He gives us peace in the storm. There's no other. I've seen on television out in the Midwest the terrible tornadoes, monstrous clouds, and the way they would form, and how in the world the individual filming it didn't get swept up in it. I don't know. But it was just terrible. Weeks, devastation. It's just a terrible thing. And storms can be there. And if you're going to travel and you're going to do something, the only way around it is to have Jesus with you and have the faith. And the disciples in this situation here, too, they didn't recognize who he was. And it's an essential point here. I mean, we need to recognize that is Jesus. We need to recognize that he is the power and strength for us that will take away the fear in a tornado or terrible situation like that. The disciples should have been aware of that because all through the Psalms, and just to give an example, in Psalm 95, verse 5, this is what the psalmist says. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed dry land. And over in Psalm 107, verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And over in Psalm 135, verse 7, he causeth the thick vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. You see, they didn't recognize who he was, even though if they were disciples, sooner or later they did recognize who he was. But if they had recognized him, they would have not panicked, and they would not have been in fear. And what we know is that there is a scarlet thread of redemption that runs all the way through the Bible. Of course, at the time of Jesus, you didn't have the New Testament in life as we have it in the form we do. But in every single book of the Bible, the 66, you can find the scarlet thread of redemption. And it runs right up to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, if you can't recognize him, you've got a real problem. What do you do to recognize that Jesus can walk with you in the storms of life, the storms of fear that you may get from the weather in that type of situation? Well, three things that the simplest way I do is ABC. And number one is to admit that you are a sinner. And what does that mean? That means in Romans 3:23, for example, for all have sinned, we've all sinned, and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, we have that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We have to believe that. We have to know that in order to recognize Christ in the storm and have the peace that only He can give us. And we have to confess, see, we have to confess that He is Lord. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, if we confess Him, and then we believe in our hearts, that Christ was raised from the dead after 3 days by God, according to the Scriptures. And then, A, B, C, if you can do those things, and if you have done those, then Jesus is walking with you, and you're walking with Him in faith, and you've recognized Him, and you know Him, and He will give you peace in the storm. There are storms, different storms of life, as I said again, and Jesus will give you peace in the storm of sorrow. I've been to a couple of funerals this month, and there's nothing that's more important than to know that one was my relative and aunt, that person is the Lord. And it's a blessing to that person because I know where she is now. But it's a comfort to all those that love you if you do know as a believer the Lord. And you do have accepted Him, and you realize He paid the penalty for your sins in His blood on the cross. And so, Jesus can give you in the storms of sorrow. He gives us hope, the hope of the resurrection. He instills that calm that you can have, the hope of the resurrection. God loves you so much, and He loves each of us so much. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. He gives us everlasting. And when you think of a funeral, with the activities that I've been involved in, along with that, it just seems like there's a darkness to it. But yet, in the sunshine of eternal life that the Lord has purchased for us for nothing is available to us. That's the only thing that can bring you sunshine when you have that type of sorrow. Jesus gives us peace of hope, the peace and hope in times of sorrow, in times of personal failures. I talked about financial or marital situations or health-wise. In the storm of a health problem, maybe it's cancer or some other, or something you've been struggling with, or you know somebody's struggling with. In my situation, it was a heart situation. About a month ago, I was over at Mercy Medical Clinic, and at that time, before we had the clients come in, there's a doctor there, you just circle up and pray. And I was giving a sort of a brief testimony, because the doctor that day was Dr. Mitchell, Dr. John Mitchell, a cardiologist. You see, I first saw Dr. Mitchell in the emergency room at East Alabama Medical Center. I had court on this particular day. And during lunchtime, I was out exercising for real health, you know, skip the eating food, you know, lose a few pounds, exercise, that type of thing. Boy, that was our role, you know. And I felt terrible, and I knew I had to ask my deputy to take me to the hospital. The hospital was only about 2 mile drive. I'm thankful because I think back there was no train coming that day. I've been stopped at that crossing a lot of times, and I needed to get to the emergency room. And so, in the emergency room, there was a doctor, and it turned out it was Dr. John Mitchell, who was about 10 feet away from me working with an elderly man. I like to say that because now I'm an elderly man. And so, anyway, he was working with this gentleman, and the nurse called him over, and he asked me a few questions. That's all I remember, and I shared that with the group at Mercy Medical. And Dr. Mitchell said, "You died." He said, "You were dead." And I know I was, I guess, because I woke up a little bit after that in a room that was very cold, in a stainless steel type, you know, I was laying on a stainless steel, it seemed like. And they had told me at that point that I had a blood clot in the lower descending artery. But they had to use the electrical jump wire, jump started me, so to speak. So I guess I was dead. And that's what they said. And I believe it. I'm very grateful. appreciated that. And that's what congregational care, by the way, is about, that type of thing. And then the nurse told me that your wife was out there with some friends. And I said, well, can I see her? And they said, you can't see anybody. So I don't know how Brian got in there, but maybe the Lord opened the door for him to do that. But they would not let anybody talk to me from that point. And she said, you want to give your wife a message? And I said, yes, yes, I did. And I said to the nurse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I saw the nurse do this with her hand. And I don't know what she did. But then when I picked up the story from my wife, she was out, other ladies, praying at that moment for me. But that's congregational. That's congregational care. See, this church has been wonderful to me personally and to so many. And that's why I enjoy doing what I'm doing. The opportunity to do that. That's what congregational care is about. That made all the difference in the world. And the nurse went out to the group and found my wife, and she said, I don't understand this. And she said that I asked if your husband had anything to say to you, and he said, yes. And then she put her hand up, and she had written the word Proverbs in Numbers 3, 5, 6. And Ilsa West was sitting there in the group, and she said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. That message for Sandy was because I knew she had lost her first husband at age 27. And it apparently seemed to be nothing really wrong with me at the time. I felt like she would not understand that. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, though, shows that God, in the storm of a health storm or a crisis, that he'll give you guidance. He will. He will guide you if you just trust him. And then we have not only sorrow and health problems, but we have Jesus giving us peace in the storm of anxiety or worry. Pretty common, isn't it? To worry a little too much. It's almost, if we're going to trust them here, but then we worry over here. If anxiety and worry were an Olympic sport, I'd probably make the finals in a lot of that, you know, because I do worry, and I do. And then I have to ask for forgiveness for that, because there's no reason for that. Because you see, when you know Christ personally, you can pray for anything. And you can count that he has heard your prayer. You may not always receive what you're praying for, but it's important to know that he is there with you there too. And he is the only one that can give you peace when you walk with him. And he will do that. He will give you peace not only in the storms of the weather, and not only in sorrow, but not in, if it was a health situation, or any situation that you can think of. You just must have faith. And you know, we can have peace with God. We can have the peace of God, but you can't have it unless you know the God of peace. And that is so important. And so, we're all in the same boat, I believe, with this, because there could be a lot of other situations that we could name. And if you look up here, that's from a painting that's in Mercy Medical Clinic. And it just so moved me even before I thought about this scripture. And then when I thought about this scripture, the Lord led me to that. I thought about that painting. If you could really see it, to do justice, there's about eight people on there. And what is it? A look of terror is in their faces. But they're different ages, and they're all sure, different nationalities and different races. That's what is so beautiful about it, in my way of looking at it, because a Chinese person, an American person, or yellow, black, or white, whatever it is, Jesus gave his life for all. And that's what he's about in this picture. He comes to see. He can come to see that you may be going through, or that you know someone going through. He can do the same thing as he did in verses 35 through 40. 41 in your life and in the lives of others. And so, I would like to say that I think it's important, obviously, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't you want someone like Jesus Christ walking with you every day of your life? Today is a fine day. There's no better day today. It's the day of salvation. It is. And why do we say that? That this is the accepted time? Because you just don't know how many more minutes or hours you have. I would have no way of thought that I would have had the opportunity to die. I was going to come home that day and run it home. And if some of you know where I live, if that had happened, I would have been alongside the road someplace. And I would not have lived at all. We don't know how much time we have. You know? Don't you want to know the Creator of all things, the Lord of all, the King of Kings, that He's coming again soon? Don't you want to get in a church where the gospel is being preached by someone like Al Jackson and the wonderful staff that we have? You hear that. You hear things from God's Word. The instrument panel, as I would say, you have to guide you, each individually, in your walk, in life. And if so, we have ministers coming up here. If you admit that you're a sinner, and you understand that Jesus substituted and paid the penalty for you completely in full with His blood. There's no forgiveness without the remission. There's no remission of sins without the blood of Christ. And so, I ask you to think about it. If you've been thinking about it, today is the day. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And if today is not the day, please don't linger. Talk to some of the ministers. Come by and see us sometime during the week. Say you want to have an appointment with the pastor or any of our ministers. But don't neglect it. Because in effect, you're denying. In effect, the disciples actually, by reacting the way they did, denied that He was who He was. And you see, they were scared about the storm. But then when peace got over the Sea of Galilee, they were more afraid of Him than that's who they were scared of at that point. And those of you who were with me and Sandy when we went on the Sea of Galilee several years ago with the church group, remember when we got out on the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and then all of a sudden it got as calm as glass. I'll never forget that feeling. And so if you want to, because Christ was in us, it was a Sunday morning, we had this devotion out there on the Sea of Galilee. But I can imagine how the sea could be, and I can imagine being a judge that's been in family court, and being an attorney that's been around for 50 years as an attorney. I know there's people sitting here today who need Christ. There are people here today, even believers, who need to recommit because of a family situation or a financial situation. And mom and dad maybe aren't together in regards to it. Or maybe it's a special needs situation that's putting so much pressure on parents to raise their children in a manner that they want to do. There are people in need. So come, come. This invitation is for you. And at the close of the service, if anybody wants to work with a congregational care ministry, please let me know. That's what the body of Christ is about. That's what this hopefully came through to you, that we do have the body of Christ wanting to minister to others in the body who maybe are shut in or who are at the hospital seeking medical help and all. And if you're interested in doing that, even if being on a prayer team and praying from the home on a certain day, if we see you in the back, and you can sign up for that. That'd be